Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show, and I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, thank you so much for tuning in again, and we will have tonight again a pretty amazing guest, and we just find out that we are here in the neighborhood with to each other. So let's welcome my guest. Good evening, Gary Lopon.
Hello, hello, hello. Great to be able to be with you, and it's always a surprise. Social media is such a wonderful connection. We can meet people all the way around the world or meet somebody next door.
And I know. This is why I was just saying to Donna, I said, oh, my God. You know, I mean, I had to go on a BBS submission page to find you. But anyway, listen, Gary, I'm so excited that you are here. And what I'm really looking for, and I think our listener also looking forward to help us, to master our Twitterverse. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
it's an incredible, incredible tool because the world of marketing and advertising has changed dramatically, and social media has leveled the playing field.
No kidding. Where
anybody who has a business has the opportunity to be able to broadcast their messages out into the Twitterverse and for everybody to be able to find. But because that playing field is level, it means everybody else who's doing the same thing that you are has the possibility, the potential to, you know, you're all vying for the same audience. So really our customers and prospects have more choices. And so the strategy that I teach and employ with my clients is to create a differentiation. So what's going to separate you from everybody else? Because if you're selling insurance and, you know, there's a bazillion other insurance people, so why are they going to choose you over anybody else? Whether it's insurance or lipstick or coaching, anything that's going to be, that people got a choice and they're looking for a connection. Most of all, they're looking for solutions to their problems. So it's all a mindset.
Gary, listen, I hate to kind of do this. I just wanted to jump in before you go any further because I can feel it already. It is pretty exciting what you already saying here. But I just wanted to let our listener know a little about your background. So I just want to, okay. You know, so they, so they can get a little, you know, taste, you know, why we would call you an expert. You know, I just read here, you know, you're amazingly recognized a Twitter expert, a mindset coach, motivational speaker, trainer, a radio host, and a life and business coach. So practically, you're helping people to master their business and life. Mm-hmm. You have also, you know, a strong background in marketing and sales, and also a direct sales, which is pretty amazing to me. So, and what was really kind of interesting to me to read about that you also have a diversity in spiritual studies that I didn't know that. So I have a little, I have a little kind of interest about that. And, you know, relationship building. So practically you're helping in life and the business, coaching people, you know, to get, you know, best, you know, the best in their life in business. And you also have a huge Twitter followers. And I tried to check you out, and I find you have three accounts or whatever. But, you know, it's a huge amount. So that's why, you know, we can call you, you know, a Twitter expert for right now, because you know how to do it. So let's do,
thank you.
You know, let's start with your philosophy here.
Okay. Well, it's like we said, it's the differentiation and really is being able to share your messages across the Twitterverse and really come from a place of service. You know, as we were talking before, you know, people are looking for solutions to their problems. So if we shift our focus from selling and come to my webinar, listen to my show, read my blog, there's a unconscious equation that goes on people's heads that when they see something like that, they see a headline, they see a subject line, they see a tweet, they're going to say either tell me more or so what.
Mm-hmm.
And probably 95% of the stuff that you see, your email, look at your email box, how much of it is so what? And you just click delete, 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 and you never read it. And it's the same thing. People are bombarded with messages. So you have to, you know, so when you're tweeting about your business, you need to be able to focus in on what problems does it solve for the other person. And if you're doing that, that's the way to be able to get into it. And there's so many different ways we can be able to do it, you know, but I think we should probably start more in the beginning and look at some of the basics. So if you're not on Twitter, the first thing that you have to be able to do is decide, like, even the same thing with business. What is your purpose? Why are you there? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? And if you focused on that and did just that, you're going to be able to stay on track. You're being more productive. You're not going to fall down a lot of rabbit holes that it will just, you'll lose hours and perhaps days and sometimes weeks because there's so much interesting people and subjects that are out there.
Absolutely. And this is why I would like to immediately to ask you the question, because you said, you know, what's your purpose? Well, what if I have right now or 10 other people who are going into the same purpose? How can, you know, the follower differentiate that?
Well, again, there's part of your personality. So the differentiation is going to come in, you know, being able to be found using keywords.
Okay.
So, you know, so again, think about the Twitter is another search engine, probably one of the top 10 search engines as far as, so what are people typing in to be able to solve their problem? And use those keywords in your profile so that people can find you. So if they're looking at Twitter coach, I'm going to come up in that search. And so that's what you want to be able to do is, because your profile, you only get 160 characters there.
140.
No, you get 140 for the tweet. Your profile, you get 160.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I'm sorry.
But that's one of the things very important to remember, though, that again, those are searchable. So you want to focus on those action words that people are going to search for. So a lot of the superfluous words like I like to work with people who do this, you're losing characters. So just state it out there. Twitter expert, mindset coach, and you know, and what you do. State that so you can be able to be found. Some of the differentiation again is how you engage with people. And talking to them, and that was huge. I don't know if you've heard my Twitter story before, but I got introduced to Twitter in 2008, and I started my account in September. And Twitter was just about a year and a half old, and nobody really knew what they were doing. And at that same time, there were rumors that the position that I had as a massage therapist doing massage for people with special needs, that the program was going to be eliminated. Well, at the end of November 2008, the program was eliminated, and it kind of still caught us by surprise, even though we knew it was coming. But I lost a lot of emotional support and financial support, and that hit me emotionally, and I kind of froze up and got into a little bit of a state of depression and hung out on a couch for quite a while. And
this is so appreciated that you are sharing, because a lot of people think, you know, you know, all those people who are successful, they are just flying. That's not so true.
No, we're all going through there. And I know that's one of the purposes, because Twitter has taught me so much. And what happened here was that I had been studying personal development since 1989, and I had collected a lot of motivational quotes. And so one of the ways that I try to be able to shift my mood was to be able to open up my document and look at my motivational quotes. And then I started sharing some of those on Twitter. And immediately people started responding. They started retweeting. They started asking questions. They started commenting. And that's when I got a tap that said, you know, Gary, you've been a coach since 99. You haven't done anything with your coaching. This is what you're going to do next. And so, you know, I've been looking at, you know, learning how to be able to use Twitter, how to be able to connect with people, not just looking at it as a sales opportunity. And there's a great opportunity for that. But primarily, it's a social networking. We're there to be able to connect. You know, even if you look at live, if you do live networking, are you get kind of repelled by somebody who comes up to you and, hey, here's my card. Call, you know, let's do lunch. I'll cut you a deal. And you know, they're just working the room and shoving cards and cutting deals, trying to cut deals all the time. Nobody likes that. They want to be able to connect. It's the same way as dating, right? A dating analogy. If you try to close a deal on the first date, you probably don't get a second date.
Bad news.
or the chances of that relationship, even if you do close a deal, it's not going to be a good long-term relationship. But dates and relationships that evolve over time, you know, we date a few times, 5, 10, 15, 20 dates before the deal gets closed naturally. And I think that's kind of the law of attraction and gravitational magnetism that I think that the marketing aspect is, it allows people to be able to come and find us. And so I've just been sharing those motivational messages, and I put a blog out on the four E's of effective tweeting. And those four E's would be your tweets need to be entertaining. Now, that's subjective, so you know, you have to find out what your audience is going to respond to, because they may not respond to the same music or jokes that you find entertaining. Your tweets need to be educational. And by educational, we don't mean a post about how your juice is going to cure the conchus of the bonkus. You want to... You know, so if you're in health products, for example, you want to be able to use Mayo Clinic or Hopkins, use some third-party validation about, you know, health, and present yourself as a health expert, not as a rep for a product, because that again, it's another repelling kind of thing. Enhancing the lives of people. Now, this is where those motivational messages come in as a huge part, because this is seven years. My Twitter anniversary was on September 7th. So we're just at 7 years that we've been on.
Well, and I can say, anniversary.
Thank you. I can say every single day people are thanking me and commenting about those motivational messages that are up there. You know, so I'm a firm believer in the butterfly effect, that we're going to be touching people's lives in another way, in any other way, a smile, a nod, a kind word. But those messages have changed people's lives, and they're changed people's days. You know, Zig Ziglar said it best. He said, you know, they say that motivation doesn't last, but rather there's bathing. That's why we need to do both every day. Mm-hmm. And so people just have a natural tendency that if they start getting blue or depressed, they fall down. And that's, you know, and I'm familiar with that. I fall down, and you got to keep doing it every single day and keep reaching for that better thought. And again, for, you know, people who are looking to be able to make the world a better place and impact people's lives, regardless of if they're doing business with you, is I started doing some just for today affirmations.
Yeah, I hit that.
And in February of 2014, young lady tweeted me one day. She says, I can never thank you enough for what your tweets have done for me. And so I asked her to email me and tell me what it was, because I wanted to know what the impact was. Mm-hmm. And so she emails me, and I'm crying within the second line, because she told me that she has a debilitating disease and she was contemplating suicide.
Wow.
Until one of those affirmations showed up on her tweet stream that resonated with her, that changed her decision. So she decided she's going to work with herself and try to do the best she can with her disease and be able to help other people who are affected by that. So that was another tap for me, that there was a responsibility that we can be able to go out there and touch people's lives perhaps even save them as a way to be able to just touch the world and serve a greater good. And I believe that in doing that, we're going to be serving people who may never do business with us. But they're all the gatekeepers for everybody else that they know. And we put an aura out there that this is our energy. This is how we serve. This is what we do. Here's some of the products we do. And so then all of those people become referring ambassadors to us in one way or another, whether they actively refer us or they retweet our information into their audience, and those messages keep going on and on and on. So I'm a firm believer that we, you know, by putting life-enhancing information out there, that's a huge part of the differentiation that you can create. The fourth E is to create engagement. And that's a conversation. But where a lot of people make the mistakes when they first get on is they'd get on and they type out a question and say, what do you think about this? And they haven't created any social currency. They haven't created any rapport with anybody else. So people are just looking at them and say, well, who are you? We don't know who you are. I'm not going to open myself up to somebody who I don't know, who's never invested into getting to know us. So what I tell people is, if you want engagement, you have to give engagement first. Same thing in relationships. You want love, you got to give love first. But by commenting on other people's messages, you know, thanking people for retweeting you, going through a lot of those things are going to be able to show your audience that you're real, and they're going to get a little bit of a sample of your personality, so they know what to expect if they write a question to you. Mm-hmm. So those are, you know, and there's a huge amount of stuff that you can be able to do. But, you know, Twitter is fun. It's easy. And there's, you know, we've created a class and some programs to be able to go through a lot of the little habits that you need to be able to do to be very successful. But if you looked at those four E's, so entertaining, educational, enhancing their lives, and creating engagement, those are going to be able to, you know, be very effective in your tweeting. And in those times, you know, again, so you talked about the differentiation, is how can you do that? Is, you know, for example, you want to be able to bring some of your personality out. You know, some of the people that I've worked with were, you know, Star Trek fans or Star Wars fans. And so we would, you know, we loaded up their tweet stream with Star Wars and Star Trek quotes. And so people who also love those quotes had a bridge that they could connect him with.
Gary, I wanted to kind of, you were just talking about quotes. I just wanted to kind of stop you here about the quotes, because I'm finding some quotes are having such a huge judgmental or guilt statement that is just so repelling to me sometimes.
Right. Well, there are a lot of messages. You know, I try to be able to look at the quotes that I have, and I've collected over 14,000 of them, and I want to make sure that those messages are, you know, are impactful and positive. You know, even to be able to, the Bill Cosby, for example, he had a couple great quotes that we used, but now just the mention of his name is offensive to people, so we had to pull those tweets out.
Wow.
Of the thing. But you know, you just have to look at, you know, what does it represent to you? How do you want to be representative? So, you know, if somebody has a little more of a snarky personality, they're going to put out a little edgier notes. But for me, I want to be able to have a positive, helpful, empowering message. And I try very hard to be able to make sure that most of my messages, I hope all of them, you know, are consistent with that theme all the way through. If you see any that aren't, please just write to me, you know, at Gary Loper, and just tell me, hey, you know, you might want to look at that one again.
Give you a little note.
Yeah, just nudge me, because, you know, like you said,
remind you.
Yeah, 14,000 messages. Some of them, something might have slipped by. But
well,
you know,
how do you handle you know, this huge amount of messaging?
It's very easy, but it appears.
Do you have a system to it, or do you
yeah.
do? Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
But I guess to start is don't think about, you know, if you go to the gym or if you start exercising, you don't mm-hmm. think about running a marathon if you hadn't exercised in decades. You first want to be able to walk around the block. So you want to be able to build your muscle and just, you know, you'll gain confidence and you'll gain pace and you'll learn some of these things as you're growing, as your followers are coming to you. You'll get more practice. You'll go through there. But you know, one of the tools that I use that's very, very effective is I use Hootsuite. It's HOOTSUITE.com, and that's a dashboard, and you can be able to hook up, you know, your Twitter accounts, your Facebook, your LinkedIn. I think you will also put your Google Plus account on there, and you can monitor all of those accounts from one dashboard. So I can be able to see everybody who mentions me. It's all in one column, and I can just scroll down very quickly to be able to find it. You know, everybody who retweets me, I can find that. You know, I've created lists, you know, because I have 133,000 followers on my primary account. And honestly, there's no way that I can be able to keep up with all of those messages.
Well, exactly. That's what I mean. You know what I'm saying.
Right. So what I've done is the people that I've resonated with and people that I've had conversations with or that I've met, I've put them on lists. And lists are a very, very useful tool on Twitter. Is you can be able to, you know, divide your all your followers and segment them into lists. You know, so I have lists of coaches. I have people who are in the healing arts. I have people who are on another social networking game that I'm in. You know, I probably have like 30 different lists that I utilize, and that helps me be able to go through, and then I can be able to keep track of what people are saying and what mm-hmm. they're doing. So I can retweet them. I can support them. I can be able to talk to them and go through there. And you know, my philosophy is, you know, you want to be able to, like, you know, you want a large list. And we mentioned it a little bit before, is that everybody we meet is a gatekeeper for everybody else that they know. So the mm-hmm. people who aren't necessarily responding to me now may respond to me at another time. Or if we're building rapport with them, that when they know of somebody within their community who needs me, they're going to be able to refer me.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be able to track a large list, but in that large list, you're not going to be talking to all of them. You're going to be talking to smaller segments of them and make it more manageable. Because it's, I use the example quite often, is like going into a football stadium. So if you went into Raymond James Stadium there in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
and there's 70,000 seats and another 15, 20,000 people down on the field. So there's approximately 100,000 people that are there. And so you walk in there. And so are you going to try to go find out the conversations to all 100,000 people? You're going to want to go find the conversations that you want to have. And that's how you can be able to segment it by, you know, using the search tool on Twitter, using hashtags, which is, you know, is in another search function on Twitter, is you can go find the conversations you want to have. So if you want to have conversations about sales or see other people in the sales industry, you know, look at hashtag sales or hashtag marketing, hashtag law of attraction or LOA, and look for them, and then you can be able to find the conversations that you want to be a part of, or, you know, either in a contributing manner or be able to listen and absorb. You don't want to know everything that goes on there. You just it's overwhelm. And when we get overwhelmed,
yes.
we don't do anything. So don't try to keep up with everything. Just look for where you want to contribute, what you want to learn, and focus there, and you'll build your Twitter muscle along the way.
Wow. That's pretty, actually, pretty amazing. So I would like to know what to avoid on Twitter.
What to avoid? Probably.
Now, what aspect you wanted to avoid on Twitter?
What aspect? Well, from the tweeting aspect, I tell people don't try to sell anything on Twitter until you have 2,000 tweets and 2,000 followers. Mm-hmm. Because it takes time to be able to find your voice, to be able to know what your audience is going to respond to, for you to be able to get your thoughts down into 100 to 140 characters. And so there's a lot to be able to learn. And again, you don't want to be that pushy guy in a networking thing to go through there. So that's one of the biggest avoidances. But mm-hmm. Twitter is really an amazing tool, because the founders of Twitter created it as a virtual town square. So that means anybody can be able to come in and set up their table or open their trunks and bring in their sweaters and bring in their music or bring in their pickles or their tomatoes, you know, sing songs, go on political rants, everything. You know, you can be able to find every aspect of humanity on Twitter.
Well, listen, the reason why I'm actually, you just had something, you had a political, and I have to say, actually, recently I had one of my guests on the show, and she was actually on the many things, activist. And what really happened is that, you know, I was tweeting, put it, you know, that she is blah, 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 and activist. Next day, my account was shut down. And well, you know, yeah. One thing I understand is, look, like, wait a minute, and yeah, okay, I maybe made a mistake with the word, but you know, she is having the whole website and everything else. How can she be done? You know, why she is even allowed to be there? So that didn't make sense in my mind. But you know, hey, these are just the rules, obviously.
Yeah, there's not quite sure, but. But that, you know, what bringing up the political thing, and with the debates that are going on tonight and what we're going to be faced with for the next year and a half, is I strongly tell people is don't tweet about your religion or your politics.
Yes, that's what I'm recognizing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unless your business has the exact same parameters as your religion or your politics. You know, a couple examples of that was, I was considering working with a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready to be able to buy a program. Until he went on a political rant that was contrary to what I believed.
Ouch. Now,
and if I didn't know, I would have bought that program. But I did know, and it cost him business.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to look at, are you looking to be able to serve people who only believe the same way that you do? Or are you looking to be able to serve humanity and people on a bigger scale? So, you know, another example was that was, you know, was talking with somebody who did fire-resistant clothing. And they wanted to be able to share Bible verses, you know, intermixed along with their, you know, fire protection, safety, all of those other messages.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked them, I said, does your product save anybody who's non-Christian?
Oh, ouch. Are you kidding?
And mm-hmm. So she goes, yeah, I got it. Because, you know, if you're looking at humanity and what you're looking, so if you want to be able to live and be only focused and you know, all your customers have to be fit right into that little box, then go ahead and you're going to attract people and you'll attract people who want to have that conversation. But if you want a bigger audience, if your products have a bigger market, mm-hmm. keep it to yourself.
I got it. I totally got it. Yeah. So I was just kind of trying to kind of, you know, get that point across, because, you know, I was reading, you know, a lot of people are getting the same issue, and it's like, I could not figure out, but doesn't matter. I was able to fix it, but still, you know what I'm saying?
What's interesting is, you know, over the 7 years, there's been several elections, And it's always nice because you can find out the people who go on these political rants. It's a good time to be able to clean out your friend file. Because, you know, if you look at how they do anything is how they're going to do everything. And so if you see their attitude and it doesn't mesh with yours, then you say, okay, well, you know, they're not going to buy from me anyways. They're not going to connect. I probably wouldn't have coffee with them. So just make room for somebody else who wants to be able to be there and wants to contribute into your community.
Well, you know, that's the honest piece, that we have to actually deal with that aspect also, you know, you like it or not, it's just part of the deal, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so it's pretty amazing. Okay, tell us how can social media actually drive traffic to your website?
Oh, lots of ways. You know, many of the ways that we've talked about as far as being able to create your persona and letting people attract them to you. But one of the things that you can be able to do is, again, we talked about that before, about solving problems. And so one of the advanced techniques that we teach in our class, so it's a little free tip, is that as authors, we fall in love with our titles of our blogs. And we should just figure, okay, well, people are going to attract it to the title. But again, you only have 100, 120 characters that you want to use because you want to be able to add the link. So how do you solve their problems? And if you look at all of your blogs, even your sales pages, there are 5 or 6 problem-solving comments that are on that page that are all possible tweets. So instead of just having, you know, here's my tweet about the power of hashtags. But then I can be able to look at, you know, I can create 6 other tweets, and I didn't prepare this in my head. You know, I can create other tweets about, you know, finding your audience, connecting with like-minded people, you know, going into specifics on what people can be able to do with that. That's something that's very powerful to be able to do.
Okay, as I'm listening, I'm also writing.
It's great. You know, there's a recording of this call, and you can go back
and listen to it. Yes, it is. But still,
a number of times.
I know that, but it just looks like it. You know, when I'm doing after, you know, the for the archive, so I like to have notes for that. You know, okay, another word what I would love you to kind of work with me, because, you know, I speak 4 different languages, but, you know, sometimes I do not understand certain words. So it says, how to learn the Twitter jargon. What is the jargon? Twitter jargon.
Well, you know, every language probably has their little short words. They're words that can have multiple meanings. You know, my wife was brought up Jewish, so like shalom, or even Hawaiians, aloha, both of those words probably have about 45 different meanings. And, you know, the Eskimos have over 100 different words for snow. So, you know, there's just jargon. It's just, you know, getting the language, you know, retweet, for example. A retweet is similar on Facebook as a share. So if you're retweeting it, you're going to look on your tweets and there's going to be 2 arrows that are in a circle. If you hit that retweet, it means that you endorse that message, you like that message, you want to share that message with your audience. So that's retweeting. Mentioning is that if you wanted to be able to have a conversation with somebody, so you would start out, you'd want to be able to include my Twitter handle. So it's at Gary Loper. And then you would type in your comment. Hey, you know, it was, you know, great talking to you on the radio show, blah, 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 blah. And so there are 2 different aspects of those mentions. If you start out the tweet with the at sign and their name, only you and them and any of your shared followers will see that message. But for people who are coaching and broadcasters, you're going to want to be able to start the message with like, "Hi, Gary," at Gary Loper, and then the comment. That way, the entire Twitterverse is going to have access to that message. It's going to show up, you know, show up in searches easier.
So
you want to be able to do that. And as a coach, you know, I've done a lot of, you know, when I've had one-on-one conversations with people, but it's been on public tweets, I've looked at that and said, okay, this is a good teaching moment. And I think that everybody should needs to be able to see this. So by starting a tweet with anything other than the at sign, it becomes public. But one of the the different aspects about it is a Dale Carnegie philosophy that the most beautiful sound to a person's ears is the sound of their own name. So if you use their name, there's another endearing quality that people will say, oh, they took the time to be able to find my name and write it in there. So it's, you know, again, it's a relationship kind of building tool. It's a little nuances, you know, you do it in live networking and going through there. You know, if you didn't remember their name, you didn't call somebody by their name, what kind of impression do you give to them? So if you do these things online, it's the same rules, but you just have to remember it's not always as casual as it appears to be. You want to be able to do that, and you want to position yourself well with that person and anybody else who's watching, because that's a very important thing. It's about 40% of the active users on Twitter are watchers.
Wow.
They're not tweeting. They're not asking questions. And it's the same thing if you did a presentation in a room. 40% of the people are going to have their head down and taking notes and nodding and going through there. And then the other 50% or so, they are going to be more engaged. They're going to be looking up. They're going to be clapping. They're going to be asking questions. Then the other 10%, you know, maybe they're taking naps. But, you know, you want to be able to look at that those watchers are very important, because again, you're creating the rapport. You're going through that. And I think that's, you know, some of those people who are in that category have been some of the best referrals and connectors, because those people have gone in there and say, hey, I want to introduce you to somebody that you you have a lot in common with.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, you know, don't underestimate anybody, but realize that there's a lot of different types of users. There are active users who are, you know, broadcasting and talking and connecting, and there's listeners, and there's other people who are just sales all the time, or just news feeds, and all of them have their place. And so you just have to be able to find out what resonates best with you. And just be able to practice that and start following people who are doing the same thing that you want to do.
So let me ask you this, Gary. For instance, now we have, we have somebody who is right now new in the business and they just wanted to kind of become this great business builder. How would you, coach them, or what would you recommend them? How should they start?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, when you use the word business builder, so that was a trigger for me. So that's a direct selling company, right?
Well, no, I was just thinking, you know, business builder in a sense. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think even that way, but yeah, I was just kind of using this.
Okay. There's industry keywords that sometimes are triggers. There are positive triggers and there are negative triggers for people. So, so if you're tweeting about stuff like that, you want to be able to be aware of those things.
I think that's maybe the good way to kind of differentiate for me. You just kind of, hit the nail for me. It's like, watch the words, how you're expressing yourself.
Exactly, because you want to be able to look at it. So, you know, we touched on this briefly, but if you are in direct sales, so what's one of the biggest problems in your direct sales business is leads and prospects, and who do you talk to next? Well, look at Twitter and social media. You can attract the whole world to you. But the whole, you know, the whole world isn't going to come attracted to you if all you've got is company links back to, you know, their sales pages and, you know, get this vitamin or there's a sale on this lotion this month.
I was actually thinking in a sense that, you know, for instance, you know, I love the word entrepreneur. And mm-hmm. if we would have right now a young entrepreneur and, you know, that this entrepreneur has a great idea to you know, build that business, you know, what how could we help him or her, you know, to promote themselves and you know, create this followers and maybe down the road also maybe a customer?
Well, there's probably a couple different things. Is one, you want to be able to focus on creating that service.
Okay.
And, you know, being of service, whether they buy from you or not. So that's where, you know, the motivational messages, educational, entertaining kind of things, and be able to do that. Be more focused about other people than about yourself. You know, that 80-20 rule should apply to your tweet stream. You know, 20% or less of your tweet stream should be self-promotion.
Okay.
Now, one of the ways that you can be able to do this is with collaboration, and Twitter is great, a great collaboration tool, is you can find other people who have a similar audience to what you want. And, you know, I do this with a couple different people, is we share each other's tweets and blogs and promotions. So that way I'm promoting you as opposed to you just saying, come and listen to my show, listen to my show, listen to my show. But if I said, hey, I had a great time on Magdalena's show and, you know, take a listen. So now you have a third party endorsement and say, okay, so if I've built rapport with my audience, now you're going to get.
So practically you're leveraging yourself with other businesses.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's an incredible thing to be able to do on Twitter, but you have to really be committed to be able to work and support other people and
each other's, yes.
Mm-hmm. And being able to, I that's been the most effective way. And that's something that's happened with Kiwanis and Lions Club and all the other fraternal groups and everything else, is they all support one another to be able to move forward. And, you know, it's the same rules. But, you know, really is focus. What do you want to do? How are you going to be able to serve? Put those four E's in there, create engagement, be there every day. You know, this isn't something that you can be able to just show up once in a while, because, you know, if you just showed up once a week, you know, what is your partner? What are your kids going to do? They're going to wonder, like, who are you? Why are you here? Mm-hmm, what are you mm-hmm. doing in the fridge? Kind of. So it's, you know, you have to have a presence. You have to. People got to be able to trust you and be able to know you. And so they know you. And then so, you know, like now, if I happen to take a couple days off or for some reason my tweets didn't show up, people are writing me and finding out what's going on. Where are you? Is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it you know, because I've built that rapport with them. But if you don't have the rapport in the beginning, they're going to go on to the next person. They're still going to look for the solutions to their problem, and they're going to say, if you don't show up here every day, you're not going to show up. I can't count on you to be able to help me when I need something or they need something.
Well, this is a very tricky question, and this is what would my next question would be, or supporting question, is that, you know, how much is enough tweeting, or how much do you want to tweet, or, you know what I'm saying? Because on some mm-hmm. level, I personally believe, and that's what I recognized actually when I was on the Facebook, that, you know, you became addicted to the you know, reading stuff and, you know, being constantly on the Facebook. And if you step back, all of a sudden people are leaving you, or they are not interested. You just had this pretty much. And my point becomes sometimes is that, wait a minute, do I really want to have everybody on my, you know, back pocket, you know, carrying my them all the time with me? Or do you have actually, are you allowed to have also a little free time for yourself? So, you know, my question for somebody who has so many followers, you know what I'm saying? How do you handle that, Gary?
Well, there's a lot. I said one with the using tools like Hootsuite. TweetDeck is another tool where you can be able to cut your time down. One of my clients who took my class, when we showed her how to be able to use those tools, she figured that saved her 20, 25 hours a month.
Wow, that's a lot of time.
Yep. Another client that we worked with, there are automation tools, and that's one of the services we provide, is we help you create your presence, and we'll put your presence out there 24/7. Is one of my clients was personally scheduling her tweets every day. And she was writing a lot of her own messages. She's very poetic and artsy. So she was writing a lot of those messages and sharing a lot more, spiritual information that resonated with her. Well, she had created a lot of those. So what we did is we downloaded them into an automation program.
Mm-hmm.
And that saved her 20 hours a month. And from that, she was able to spend more time engaging on Twitter and talking to people and connecting and looking at their sites. And she created new business by creating those relationships. So you can be able to leverage, those automation tools, those dashboard tools to save yourself 20, 30 hours a month. And you can invest that back into relationships to be able to, make the connections and create business.
Okay, I have also now a question. Again, it just raised another question about the automation. Automatic respond and stuff. I'm finding many times, when you have followers and unfollowers, that it's depending on that automation, automatic respond to it. So it is actually even not really connected to you. So that's another,
Right. Yeah. And there are good ways to use automation and there are bad ways.
Exactly. So a lot of time I do not resonate with that.
Right. So if you're using an automation tool that will send a direct message to somebody after they follow you, and, it comes back out and it's just like, hey, thanks for following me. Find me on Twitter or find me on Facebook. Go over here. Those messages, they're just spammy and people ignore them. And I tell people, don't use an automatic direct message. Mm-hmm. A direct message is a way that you can be able to really connect with people. And there's still a lot of abuse for it. But Just a month or two ago, and so here's another huge thing, that Twitter lifted the 140 character limitation on direct messages. So now if you're writing a direct message, you don't have to write 15 different tweets to try to get a point across. Now you have 10,000 characters in your direct message to be able to make a connection and really be able to use it as a valuable tool.
That's because I just recognized somebody was sending me direct message and the message was on going on and on and on. So that I didn't know that. That's good.
You can create longer personal messages and connections with that way. As far as the automation in your stream, you want to be able to have and keep in mind a balance. My tweets are automated. So the motivational tweets that I put out there, the links for my blogs and my past radio interviews and such, and my ebooks, those are all automated. But I make a point of, three or four times a day to go check my mentions, my retweets, and some of the lists that I'm following. And I rotate those lists, a couple of each day, look at them. And so I'll go retweet some of those people. I'll connect with them. I'll answer questions and go through there. And so then I feel that there's a balance of that automation, which will free me up to be able to allow me to be able to personally connect with people. And I think that's really the key, is that engagement and seeing people, letting people see that you're real and you're accessible.
Yeah, because look, like I said, I told you, I'm still learning about the Twitter and, there are so many things that you can learn, then you can actually greatly benefit. So tell us actually the three reason why you have such a huge followers, you know, huge, a big list on the followers. How did you do that?
Well, like I said, my main account is 7 years. And so, mm-hmm. so we had a long time. A lot of those people actually were organically grown. So they resonated with the messages.
Mm-hmm.
And probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I did take advantage a little bit of some automation tools where we could be able to add followers by automation.
Okay. Ah, okay.
So now Twitter has greatly reduced the effect of those tools. And so now, you know, I'm really shifting my focus now on attracting audiences through hashtags and conversations going through there.
But, oh, there's this great conversation. Oh, I don't know what's the name of it. You know, you can have actually right now a Twitter conversation, do you?
Well, the Twitter chats and things. Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
That's another thing. So, you know, and so that's a great point. And we can, you know, we should spend a couple minutes on that. Twitter chats are a great way to be able to connect with people. And what a Twitter chat or a Twitter party is, it's an event that's usually set up around a hashtag. Or a topic. And so the host of those parties would be monitoring and facilitating putting questions out. You know, I was hosting a Twitter party for about 2 years. And so we would put it out, and so we'd have questions and people would respond. And so and then you'd have conversations. So it's like, you know, what's your favorite part about Twitter? You know, that's just one, I think, from the very first Twitter party that we ever did. And so we'd have that and you could be able to learn. And what there's another aspect is, you know, you have that connection. You can create a community because there's other people who are around that certain topic. And there's time to engage with other people. You know, a lot of people who came to our Twitter parties made connections and created business because they met at a Twitter party. So you can go to like Twubs, TWUBS.com. And there may be other tools, but I think Twubs was one of my favorite tools for it. And Twubs actually has a directory, a calendar of Twitter parties that are going on every minute of every day.
Wow.
So you can go through and you can look at that directory and you can go find whatever conversation you want to be able to go and listen to. And go watch it, look at it, get a feel of it. If you want to contribute, go ahead and contribute, or just go on and look at, go look for another one that feels comfortable for you. But
oh, wow.
You know, Twitter parties and tweet chats are great. You know, I know, you know, two friends of mine, I know they have, you know, great Twitter parties. One is People Skills. So it's hashtag People Skills. And that's on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern. And that's a very, very fast hour program. And also Tuesday nights at 8, I believe, is hashtag Lead From Within. Both of those are mega, mega busy and very, very fast Twitter chats. And maybe a little overwhelming if you've never been to one before. But those are some of the best ones that I've experienced. And, you know, if you want to see what it's really like and what it can be and the power of them, you know, take a look at those two and be able to see how you'd fit in. And you could probably find other people, because if you make connections with those Twitter parties and you friend them,
mm-hmm.
You know, then they'll probably, you know, because it's live, it's going through there, and people are looking for the real connection. So if you friend them during a Twitter party, you know, there's probably about an 80-90% chance they're going to friend you back right away.
And so
you get that followers, you get those connections, and then if you put those people on a list, then you start watching their streams, because people who are active usually in one Twitter chat are probably going to several other Twitter chats.
Wow.
So you can continue.
Okay, Gary, listen, I just checked the time. It's like, oh my God, I cannot even believe it. We have maybe two minutes left over. This is incredible. It was amazing conversation. Listen, before we close the interview, I really would like you to let our listener know how they can reach you. And, if you have any promotion, feel free to do it.
Okay. Well, Gary Loper, at Gary Loper, GARYLOPER on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. Just type in Gary Loper. LinkedIn, all the same thing. GaryLoper.com is the website. And if you go to GaryLoper.com, you'll be able to see in the center column there are links for information about my Twitterverse Flight School, which is a 12-hour recorded webinar series on it will take you from zero Twitter knowledge to what I think is an advanced intermediate level. And you also find links to my three ebooks that are on Twitter, networking, and also building better love relationships. So you go to GaryLoper.com. Feel free to drop me a note on Twitter. And, use up some space on the DM. But,
That is so awesome, Gary. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you taking your extra time to have a chat with us and share this great information. Well, thank you so much, everybody, and have a great night. And Gary, again, thank you so much. And maybe we will come, have a time to chat again.
Excellent. We're looking forward to it. It's always great to be able to meet our neighbors.
No kidding.
All right.
Okay.
Happy tweeting.
You are welcome. Good night.